That sounds like a place that you wouldn't want to be. Right? House of sinners. Would you be caught dead in a place called the House of Sinners? It sounds like a horror movie, right? Yeah. I hope I haven't used this illustration before. I don't think I have. I started here, there was like a month period where, you know, I was kind of off, but I was living here. And there's this section called Marble Cliff. Are you familiar with Marble Cliff over near Upper Arlington, where I live? There's the 1920s through 50s homes, you know, and then Grandview has kind of the 1890s through 1910s. And when before I became your pastor, I was watching all these videos trying to catch up about Columbus because I had no idea what Columbus was like or how it formed or whatever. And I watched these videos on, you know, all the different neighborhoods and how they were formed and their history and everything like this. So I learned about Marble Cliff. But there's this little section called Marble Cliff south of Fifth Avenue. And it's kind of this section that was started by a group of Methodists. Trinity Methodist Church is kind of on the corner there. And there's a long history of Methodists that wanted to separate themselves from those sinners to the north. They wanted an alcohol-free zone. They wanted to get separated from those crazy people, heathens up north. And so, this form. I mean, Prohibition started right here in Columbus, Ohio. You can look it up. Comstock Opera House, 1872. That was kind of the start of that whole sort of thing. Anyway, it was a mentality that we are going to rid our streets of those evil alcohol drinkers. And there may be, you know, some truth to that. There was some pressure after the Civil War. And it got out of hand. I can see that. I understand. I would say, beyond this whiskey war or whatever it was, the church at the time became very sterile. Or at least it wanted to be. It was looking to be a collection of people with no sin on their record. The behavior modification movement was very, very strong at the turn of the century. It was in full swing. Back then, you let your hair fall out of place, you had to go home and fix it. It was very strict. The dress code was very strict. Most people tried very, very hard to comply. The church became a house of the very best people. Or at least it was like that on the outside. Sins were kept hush-hush. Appearances were everywhere. And this lasted through the World Wars. I mean, this was kind of American culture. Until the wheels fell off. And people just couldn't live up to the 1950s facade. Some of you will remember that from your childhood. Yeah. Now we are getting into an era, and it has started, I guess, 5 or 6 decades ago, where every generation, people became less and less about the do's and don'ts, right and wrong. And things just kind of start to sort of deteriorate. And at the same time, in almost a perfect parallel, people in mass stopped going to church. I don't know what happened. The church tried to maintain this houses of the holy type image, but it was a lie. People couldn't live up to it, so they quit going. That's not for me. In our passage this morning, Jesus walked by it. tax collectors booth. I don't know if you're familiar with tax collectors, but they are very, very, very needed. By the church, by the non-church, by everybody. Horrible in the eyes of the public. And Jesus said, Matthew, come follow me. Don't just follow me. I want you to join my ministry. That was unusual. And in the shock of this encounter, Matthew left his very high-paying day job and followed Jesus. I'm sure there might have been some going away party with his fellow tax collectors. Maybe that's why they were reclining and hanging out and, you know, having this like tax collector party that Jesus seems to be at. And he was eating with these sinners. And the church leaders in Jesus' day, they're disgusted by Jesus' behavior. They can't believe it. It's such a bad look. He's embarrassing himself. And they call out his disciples now, because he falls now. How can you be with this guy? And they don't know what to say. And so Jesus, he speaks for them. He says, those who are well have no need of a doctor. That's kind of true. I don't know the doctor. Listen to check. It's those who are sick who need a Savior. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I came for sinners, not the righteous. I'm going to throw this out there, but I'm learning, and it says in the passage, you know, learn from this, so I'm trying to learn as best I can. I don't think the church that Jesus started was for good people. Or people who have it all together. I think Christ's church, the Christian church, is the house for sinners. That's what it is. If you already have it all together, and you can do no wrong, why would you need church? What would you be here for? There's literally no reason to be here. You are perfect in every way, but without sin. I want to tell you, this is like a little aside, because this has come up a couple times in the last 2 weeks, and it keeps coming up, so I feel like it must go in the sermon, I guess. I have a love for the Amish. I said that yesterday at the funeral, and in a couple of, several days before that, I had an Amish encounter with my Molly and President Mama. They were walking through the mall, and their heart was missing, right? I just have this love for the Amish, this simplicity, the way they dress, you know, just kind of going back to a previous time, Amish culture. It's just, it's so cool. And I keep having these Amish moments, so. There's one thing that I'm challenged by when it comes to Amish practices. It's one thing. And I use it kind of as a negative and I kind of describe it as kind of an anti-Christian practice when it comes up in conversation in the adult Bible study class or in Wednesday women or whatever. I kind of use them as an example. The Amish are all about, we are good in here, and everything out there is bad. Beware. That's kind of the definition of got almost closure. Like, we have our walls, and we do our things in here by our rules and whatever, and everything is good in here. But out there, you go outside, take your chances. And as a Lutheran pastor, I have to say, I see a lesser, watered-down version of this in the established American churches and all the denominations. We kind of have a lesser version of this. I would even include my colleagues. Even the home team. We see ourselves as righteous and the group out there as somehow lesser, more simple than we are. We won't say it out loud, because technically it's theologically flawed. But wink, wink, it's kind of how we think inside. There was an Amish incident. This is one that happened a couple weeks ago. Roy and we went up to get the audio and visual stuff for our church up in Sweetwater, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the holy mecca of the Lutheran faith. And we went up there, and on the way home, you know, on long drives, I like to drink a lot of Diet Coke. And, you know, I don't hold liquids like I used to. So we had to pull off of the road, and we stopped off at this fast food place, and I went in, you know, and Roy kind of drove around the arrows around the other side. When I finished, I came out, and Roy's been kind of driving around, like, Roy, Roy, and I'm trying to run out to get him. I'm living Denise's life, Roy, stop, right? And he's coming around, and then I finally get out, and then I walk around the building, and I'm waiting, and he's having this, like, argument with an Amish guy. And so I come up to the car, and, you know, I said, what was that about? And he said, oh, man. He was like, I'm looking in there trying to see where you are. Like, what happened to you? Like, are you in line to order or whatever? And he's thinking, I'm checking out his Amish daughters. You know, 1800s dress and everything like that, the bars and all. I think they're technically married, but it's not being technical. I mean, he's like thinking, like, you know, what in the world? Like, this guy works in the public school. There's no way. He's like, it's crazy, right? And so he's arguing. It looked really weird. And they seemed like weirdos. As a Christian in the, you know, culture and community that I live in, do we look like the same weirdos to our peers in our community? Do we have a holier than thou sort of attitude, or is it perceived as that? To the point where we no longer function as the house of sinners. Because when I think about the house of sinners type church, I don't think of an Amish church. Far from it. Quite frankly, I think of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's a church for you. People gather together and get real. Deal with the inner self. And their spiritual struggles, and their hurts, and their pains, and they experience redemption. I hope. Think of a church that can be real and not fake. Let's not ever be a church that puts up a facade or appearances. I mean, we confess. confess in the beginning of our service every Sunday. We should be a confessional community in our relationships with each other. We all have issues. We all have struggles. Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous. They don't think they need me. I came to seek and to save the lost sheep. I came for sinners. Let us never forget that at St. James Lutheran Church. We are the house of sinners in need of redemption. We are here to receive God's means of grace through the real presence of Jesus Christ, his redeeming body and blood, in, with, and under this very holy supper. Let us continue to be sent out to make disciples of all people, even tax collectors and sinners, teaching them the means of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Amen.